This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, October 10th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Because so much information is stored digitally these days, it can be easy to forget that data still needs to live in a physical location. And for the last several years, the European Union has had a problem with the data of its citizens being stored in the US. For thousands of companies with transatlantic operations, including the US tech giants, that's a problem with major business implications. But the US and EU may finally be on their way to a deal. On today's show, our European tech reporter Sam Schechner joins us to explain how some recent developments could cement a new US-EU data privacy deal. That's after these headlines. Rivian is recalling nearly all its electric vehicles. The EV maker said in a regulatory filing this weekend that the recall addressed a problem that could cause drivers to lose control of steering. It applies to around 13,000 vehicles made between late 2021 and September of this year. A spokeswoman said there haven't been any known injuries related to the defect, but the recall is the latest challenge for Rivian as it tries to expand sales of its first EV models. The Federal Trade Commission is paring down its case against Facebook parent Meta as it seeks to block the social media giant's purchase of Within Unlimited, the maker of virtual reality fitness game Supernatural. The FTC had said the deal would stifle competition because Meta has a game called Beat Saber that competes with the Supernatural app. The regulator has now dropped that part of the case. In August, it also removed Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg as a defendant, and so the case is now only against the company. The agency is still arguing the deal is illegal because it would remove the benefits of potential competition. A Meta spokesman said the FTC's claims were not based on evidence. The U.S. has acted on a plan to restrict the export of advanced semiconductors and chip manufacturing equipment to China. As we told you last week, the Biden administration is looking to curb Beijing's ability to develop cutting-edge technology, particularly for military use. Our semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch explains.
Chips, of course, are the pillar of modern economies. They're also a huge factor in military development. Advanced chips go into missile systems and nuclear weapons and things like that. So the U.S. making this move is pretty significant in a number of ways, both politically and technologically and economically.
The new rules will require U.S. chip makers to get a license from the Commerce Department to export certain chips used in advanced artificial intelligence calculations and supercomputing, according to senior administration officials. The rules will also allow the U.S. to block the sale of foreign-made chips that use U.S. technology. Crypto exchange Binance said last week $100 million was likely stolen as a result of a hack on its blockchain network. In response, the company temporarily suspended transactions and fund transfers on its Binance Smart Chain. The company's CEO said on Twitter that the issue had been contained. The hackers allegedly exploited a cross-chain bridge, a feature that allows transfers between blockchain networks. This type of attack is becoming increasingly common. According to crypto data firm Chainalysis, about $2 billion has been stolen in cross-chain hacks this year. And Samsung expects to feel the effects of lower consumer demand for memory chips and smartphones. The South Korean tech giant projected last week that profit for the third quarter would be about $7.7 billion, almost a third lower than the same period last year. Our deputy finance editor, Quentin Webb, says Samsung is a bellwether for the wider tech sector.
Well, I mean, it is hard to overstate how important Samsung is. It's not just a very big player in smartphones. It's also very big in televisions. It is a big supplier to other key players in the industry like Apple, a big supplier of memory chips, for example. So when Samsung is feeling under the weather, you can bet that most of the rest of the sector is also suffering too.
All right, coming up, Europeans will soon be able to challenge the U.S. government if it uses their private data. Why is this key to the business of big tech? We'll discuss after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, know it's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Last week, President Biden signed an executive order that would give Europeans a new right to challenge U.S. government surveillance practices against them. The move is a key step in enacting a data privacy deal between the U.S. and the EU, one that has taken years to reach. At the heart of the issue is whether companies can store the data of Europeans on U.S. soil, which is key for U.S. tech giants, because if they can't, then some of those companies say they'll have to pull out of Europe. Joining us to explain what this latest step means for the future of transatlantic data privacy is our European tech reporter, Sam Schechner. Hi, Sam. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sam, can you start off with a bit of background? I mean, what led to this move?
Well, in a way, this goes back a couple of decades, you know, to the end of the 1990s. The EU started implementing privacy rules, and they were saying that information about people in Europe can't be sent to countries where it's not properly protected. And they struck a deal with the U.S., which they called Safe Harbor, which said, okay, it's okay to send to the U.S. if companies agree to a certain number of EU privacy rules. After the revelations by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, more than a decade later, people in Europe were pretty upset about the allegations that their data hosted by American tech companies could have been accessed by the NSA or other intelligence services. And a top EU court actually struck down that safe harbor agreement. And we've been seeing this kind of back and forth between where to put the line between privacy and commerce going back all this time. And so most recently, a new agreement was struck down. And companies have been kind of operating in limbo. Are they allowed to send data about people living in Europe, like me, to servers in the U.S.?
So what does this executive order mean for the data of people living in the EU?
Well, this executive order, basically the restriction on sending data is a European restriction. Europe says you can't send data outside of the EU unless it's safe to do so. And they pre-authorize places that are safe. So Europe's ask was make it safe in compliance with this court order that struck down the prior agreement. This is the U.S. executive order that seeks to do that based on negotiations with the European Commission. The reason that this agreement that allowed the data to be sent was struck down was that an EU court said that Europeans didn't have really actionable rights to do anything about the surveillance if they thought they were being improperly surveilled. And that there needed to be more legal redress. And so what this new agreement includes is, on one hand, new guidelines and guardrails against what the EU and US would call disproportionate surveillance, a surveillance that might say seek to repress dissent, and then also this redress that the EU court had asked for. And it creates a new entity called the Data Protection Review Court that could give a secondary review to cases. If Europeans complain in the EU, their complaints can be sent to this court for a kind of adjudication eventually.
So what happens now that this executive order has been signed?
Well, in the EU, the executive arm called the European Commission is going to review the executive order and see if it matches what they've been asking for. Both the U.S. and the Commission really want to make sure that this survives what will be an inevitable court review. It's going to go back to the same court that struck down the prior agreement. So both the European Commission and the U.S. want to make sure this deal survives a court review, and that's why they negotiated it this way. You know, an EU official on Friday said that they were confident that they could defend this new data agreement against legal challenges, which suggests that they're likely to give the executive order that rubber stamp approval called adequacy, which will allow companies to send their data more freely from the EU to the US.
All right. What does this mean, though, for tech companies, and particularly for some of the biggest US tech companies?
In essence, this helps remove some of the uncertainty that they're facing about the future of these data transfers. After the last court decision, there have been some cases moving through with EU privacy regulators that could have had a really severe impact on, for instance, Meta. There is a pending order that Meta should stop both Facebook and Instagram from sending any data about Europeans to the US. That's still going to take a few months to come through, and it may in fact come through before this deal is finalized. Meta has said that if that order were made effective, that they might have to stop offering some of their services in Europe. So it's a significant operational challenge for a company like that. There's a lot of other companies that use American cloud services, and if this kind of data transfer were ruled illegal, would have to perhaps start storing more data in Europe. And so it is a significant relief for a lot of companies to see that this deal is coming to fruition and it seems more likely to be finally approved.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. That's our European tech reporter, Sam Schechner. Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Always a pleasure.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Free Expression, a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.